Well, good afternoon, everyone. When John asked me about my sermon, I said, I can adjust it. We can make it long, or we can make it short. I was planning to make it short, and I will make it short now. I just find it interesting. I think the sermonette speaker has more scriptures than I do, which is very unusual to have a sermonette with more scriptures than the sermon. But we will go with that. One announcement I wanted to update everyone with. My brother had a setback on his birthday. He was rushed to the hospital with dehydration. And so I want to encourage everyone to pray for my brother Ron. The dehydration can cause all kinds of complications, including kidney failure and other circumstances. But fortunately, they caught it in time. They were able to give him fluids, and they sent him home. But they're saying he may need a blood transfusion. Now, he's asking us to pray that he does not have to do a blood transfusion. The blood banks have a lot of problems with the blood, and I'm not saying that all blood banks are bad. What I'm saying is there have been problems with some of the blood that has been donated to blood banks. And so he'd rather have donations from the family. Now, the family's all scattered here in the east, and he's in the west, which means it would require a major adjustment for everyone to be able to go out and donate blood. So keep that in your prayers that my brother will not have to have a blood transfusion. He is type B, which is what I am, and my son Jeremy is a type B. So we would definitely be the closest probably in the family that would donate blood. But again, he doesn't want to do that if he doesn't have to. So keep him in your prayers. It's very important. 12 days from now, we will be keeping the fall festival season. It's amazing. 12 days, we will be keeping the fall festival season. Brethren, we all rejoice and we all look forward to the fall festival season. It's a wonderful time. It's one that prepares us for much in preparation spiritually and physically. We rejoice greatly. We have a fantastic time. It's just a wonderful time of the year. But brethren, I thought back on different feasts over the years. Now, some feasts were great, some feasts were good, and some feasts were not so good. And I questioned in my mind, why were the feasts that were great? What was it that made the feasts so great? And what about the feasts that were good? What did I do or my family do to make the feast good? And then I thought about it from what was it that caused the feast not to be good? Well, brethren, I think we all experience all three situations from time to time when we go to the feasts and keep the feast days. And brethren, I want you to think about it. The feast is an exciting time. It can be filled with all kinds of excitement, all kinds of rewards, and fantastic, fun-filled activities, being with God's people, rejoicing, having a great time. But sometimes we're not prepared to go to the feast. Sometimes we are just not prepared to go to the feast. And what I mean by that is spiritually. We are prepared physically, and we're looking forward to all the great times, the fun, the entertainment, the joy, the activities. That's part of the feast days, including the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement. That's all part of the fall festival season, and particularly the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day. But if we're not preparing ourselves spiritually to have a wonderful feast, fall festival season, we're going to be perhaps disappointed, and maybe even leave the Holy Day season disappointed. And it may all fall on our own shoulders, our own fault. There are things we can do to prepare for the fall festival season. And that's what I want to talk about today. Things that we can do to help us have a wonderful fall festival season. It's amazing when I think about all the situations that we get involved in. The feast days are the greatest and the highest time of the year for each and every one of us. Not that the spring holy days are not important as well. They're all very important. But I want to, for point number one, I want you to think about what do the feast days mean to you? This is part in spiritually preparing for the fall festival season. What do the feast days mean to you? Are you thankful? Are you thankful for the fall festival seasons and the spring holy day seasons? Particularly, I want to talk about the fall festival season. I hope you are. Because, brethren, we are the most blessed people to know the plan of God, to know what these holy days are all about, the purpose that God has for mankind. And I hope you're very, very thankful for that. But, you know, you can take them for granted. They come around every year, and it's easy that we can just take them all for granted. But God needs to know that you appreciate these fall festival seasons. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. Now I'm going to stop here a minute. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. That includes the fall festival season. Giving thanks to God. Letting God know that you truly, truly appreciate the fall festival holy days. The meanings of them, the purpose that which He designed them for, and the fulfillment when these days are truly fulfilled. Brethren, this world will not be the same when these days are fulfilled. It's going to be an entirely different world when these days are fulfilled, these fall festival seasons. And it will be a time of rejoicing. Because the suffering that mankind is dealing with in this present state will no longer exist. Jesus Christ will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Satan will be bound and put in the bottomless pit for a temporary period of time. It will no longer influence the society. The world will be at peace. We'll have harmony. We'll have joy. We'll have wonderful production. The world will no longer be destroyed in the day of the Lord, as we heard about. But everything will be renewed. It will be a wonderful time. Do you truly appreciate the holy days? I think most of us can say yes, we do. But brethren, when we go to the holy days, if the holy days is all physical and it's not spiritually, what have we gained? What have we gained? We've gained a lot of physical things. Maybe weight. Some of us will gain weight because of eating. Maybe joy and activities. And that's not wrong. I'm not saying the physical is not important. But if we concentrate specifically only on the physical and we don't concentrate and prepare spiritually, we're not going to have a wonderful fall festival season. Yeah, we'll be filled with lots of joy with the physical things, but what will we gain out of it spiritually? That's the question. So I want you to go to God for the first point and pray and let Him know how much you appreciate the fall festival season. He's waiting to hear from you. He tells us that these are His feast days. We read about that in Leviticus 23. We understand that. And we are given the opportunity, each and every one of us, to attend these festivals of God. He didn't call everybody. He didn't call everybody. We are honored and privileged to be able to have that knowledge and understanding, and that we can see the fulfillment of God's plan and purpose for mankind and the fulfillment of what His family will become. So I hope you go in prayer and tell God how much you appreciate the fall festival season as we prepare spiritually to have a wonderful feast. Now along with that, I also want to refer to Psalms, the book of Psalms. Refer to Psalms 92. Again, this is in giving thanks to God. Psalms 92. I can't go without at least referring to Psalms because that's one of my favorite books in the Bible. And let's look at verse 1. Psalms 92 verse 1 says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises." Brethren, that's what we will be doing at the feast. We will be singing praises and giving thanks to God, the Most High. And that's why it's so important that we let Him know how much we truly appreciate these fall festival seasons and the meaning of them. Let's also look at Psalm 79. Psalm 79, verse 13. And I find this very important because this is a point, leads me to point number two I want to emphasize. So we, your people, and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. Brethren, we should be giving thanks to God forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. Now, as we look out in the congregation here, we have multiple generations, and that's what we're saying here. We're going to be giving praises to all generations. Now, I'm going to talk to the youth people, young people today, just for a short period of time. And I want to encourage you, young people, to give thanks to God and let Him know how much the holy days mean to you. Because growing up as a teen in the church, one of the first feasts I attended was Mount Pocono. And I remember attending Harrisburg for the first time, and then they talked about this Feast of Tabernacles in the fall festival season, and I was thinking, what's this all about? We knew a little bit about it because we studied about it, but we weren't really keeping it. The first time we kept it at home, but it was nothing like Poconos, because when I went into the tabernacle building and I saw thousands and thousands and thousands of people, I thought we were just a small group in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and I could count like maybe 500 people. So I thought, well, we'll go to this feast, you know, maybe 800 people, thousands, 13,000 attending the feast in Mount Pocono. But now when we go to the feast, like John said, 500 possibly in Jekyll Island. How much does the holy days mean to you? Are you willing to hold on to them and let God know you want them to be part of your life? I hope you do. I hope you sincerely let God know that the holy days are very important to you, and that you make them part of your life. From the time you're teenagers growing up, becoming young adults, and holding on to them and making them part of your life, it's so important. Many people have turned away and were saddened. And there's many reasons why people don't keep the holy days. Some because of health issues, and that's understandable. God does not expect somebody who is not able to attend physically. But there have been individuals who have turned away because they're a burden. The holy days are a burden. They don't enjoy them anymore. They're done away with. I've even heard people say they're done away with. And of course we understand they're not. They will be fulfilled in the future. So brethren, and young people particularly at this point, please hold on to the values that have been taught. Please understand. Make them sincerely a part of your life, and let God know as you prepare to go to the fall festival season. Tell God how much the holy days mean to you, and each and every one of us do the same. Tell God how much the holy days mean to you, and make it a personal endeavor to keep them from generation to generation, as we're told here, to show forth praise to all generations. Brethren, there will be some that will turn away. But God is watching. And like we heard in the sermonette, it's quality versus quantity. He's not looking for numbers. He's looking for quality. And He wants quality Christians, which is what we need to become. And the way we become that is holding on to the values that we've been taught. And to be thankful, extremely thankful. Now also, a second point is humbling ourselves. And I find this is unique because when we come to the Day of Atonement, it's just a naturally opportunity for each and every one of us to humble ourselves through fasting. This is a fast day. Some say it's a slow day, but it is a fast day either way. That's a joke if anybody didn't catch that. Fasting is not pleasant, I understand. I remember the first time I fasted, I threw up. I had a lot of toxics in my system and I threw up, and it was a horrible Day of Atonement, the first fast time I ever fasted. But you know, as you grow spiritually, you come to rejoice in the Day of Atonement. It is a wonderful day of rejoicing for each and every one of us. And we humble ourselves, we fast, it makes us draw close to God. And I think it's interesting, God puts that right before we go to the greatest festival of all, right before we go to the Feast of Tabernacles. I think there's several reasons for that. God wants us to humble ourselves because he wants us to draw close to him. And that's how we prepare to have a spiritual feast, by drawing close to him. So the Day of Atonement is a natural humbling of ourselves. Let's look at Psalms 25. Psalms 25, and we'll look at verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way. Meek humbling, when we humble ourselves and we are being taught by God, it's a wonderful experience. Like I said, it's not always pleasant to fast, but it is a purpose. There is a purpose for it. It humbles us and it gives God the opportunity to teach us. When we are humbled, we'll be willing to listen to God, to listen to what he has to say. And we can grow spiritually through fasting, especially on the Day of Atonement. Let's look at Proverbs 15, verse 33. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Now we're told when we go to the feast, we are to learn to fear the Lord. So in some ways, this is also talking about the holy day, the fear of the Lord, learning to proper fear of the Lord. And we're also told that we will be instruction in wisdom. And the feast days teach us wisdom, teach us knowledge and understanding. And we're also go before honor, there's humility. And that's what the Day of Atonement does. It brings us down humility-wise. And it teaches us valuable lessons of trusting in God. Brethren, we won't live another day if we didn't have food. If we eventually went without food, we would die. And so we can learn how important it is to trust in God to provide for all our needs. Now, the Day of Atonement has a specific purpose, and I'm not going to talk about that right now because we will be keeping the Day of Atonement and the messages will be referring to that. But I do want to emphasize that by fasting and humbling ourselves, we will grow spiritually. We will draw closer to God, and we will be growing spiritually and preparing for the fall festival season. And so it's very, very important that we humble ourselves. Let's look at Micah 6. Micah 6 and verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And that's what these holy days do. We walk justly, we love mercy, and we walk humbly with God. The feast days are a wonderful time of humility and teaching us to draw close to God. A third area, and this is a point that I think is very basic, but it's probably one of the most important points. Brethren, prayer is so important. Prayer is so important. As we prepare for the fall festival season, pray for the messages. I'm sure John will greatly appreciate that. He has a sermon at Jekyll Island, and he has to prepare for a sermon. And he would greatly appreciate your prayers, because we all seek inspiration. And that's the encouragement and the inspiration of the messages. And so we need to pray for the messages. I had a person tell me one time, you know, if you want to be inspired, you better pray for the messages. Otherwise, if you're not inspired, it's your own fault. I found that interesting. That's very true. If we don't pray for inspiration for the messages we'll be hearing at the fall festival season, and we're not inspired, and we're not encouraged, and we're not motivated, it's our own fault. Because we didn't pray for inspiration. Now that's a little drastic, because hopefully all the messages are prepared in advance and that we will be encouraged and inspired. But brethren, we can do our part and pray. And more importantly, pray every day. The festival is filled with excitement. Trumpets, with all its excitement and the messages we'll be hearing and gathering together as God's people. The Day of Atonement, where we fast, it's not the greatest opportunity, but it is a time of rejoicing. It is a time of learning to draw and humble ourselves. And the Feast of Tabernacles, with all its wonderful blessings, the activities, the joy, the traveling. That's one of my favorites, traveling and seeing different parts of the country and enjoying that. These are all wonderful, wonderful blessings. But if we just absorb all the physical things and we're not praying on a daily basis like we normally should when we go to the feast, we're missing the spiritual point, which is what I want to emphasize. We're missing the spiritual point. And if we're not praying continuously, then we will perhaps not have a very inspirational feast and fall festival season. Let's look at Philippians 4. Philippians 4, and we'll look at verse 6. I think, again, in prayer, I mentioned about letting God know how thankful you are. That's just a natural way of telling God. But in chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. So again, while we're keeping the fall festival season, it's very important that we present our prayers of thanksgiving and requests and make them known to God. God's waiting to hear if we truly appreciate these fall festival seasons. And if we want a spiritual feast, we need to pray for the messages that we'll be hearing. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll look at verse 17. I like this scripture. I kind of chuckle every time I read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Well, there is times when you have to cease. It doesn't mean we pray all the time and we're constantly praying and we're never working or we're never eating or we're never sleeping. No, what that means is pray a lot. God expects us to pray a lot. And in the prayers that we give up to God and beseech God, we need to be doing it with thanksgiving and letting Him know we truly appreciate the fall festival season as well as all the holy days. But this time I want to emphasize the fall festival season. So we need to pray without ceasing. Throughout the feast, before the feast, and this is a tradition that my family kept when I was a teenager. I remember the very first time we were going to the feast, my father said, we are going to pray before we leave. We're going to pray for safety. And that was a very inspiring message for me, because I remember one time traveling to the feast. This was in Kentucky. And a fellow came out with a gun out of the woods and shot at our van. Now, where the bullets went, I have no idea, because I saw the smoke from the gun. So I know bullets went somewhere. But none of us were hurt. This was on Route 40 heading into Kentucky. So praying for safety is very important. We can personally vouch for that as a family. We were heading to the feast. A man with a gun shot at us. So safety is so important, brethren, to pray for safety. And that taught me a very, very important lesson when my father encouraged us to pray before we leave for the fall festival season. Pray for each and every message that we talked about. Pray for each individual who attends the feast. And those who cannot attend the feast. There are individuals who are not able to attend the feast. And that's got to be a disappointment. If you're physically looking forward to the feast and spiritually, and suddenly a sickness or pregnancy or whatever the circumstances prevents you from attending the feast, that can be an extremely disappointing situation. So pray for all the brethren. Pray for the messages. Pray for inspiration. Pray for safety. There's so many things that we can pray about. But each and every day of the feast, pray for the messages before the individuals give the messages. Let's look at Psalm 55. Psalm 55. We'll look at verse 16. Psalm 55, verse 16, it says, as for me, I will call upon God. Now, how do you call upon God? Well, there's several ways. Prayer is most obvious. And the Lord shall save me. evening and morning and at noon will I pray. Here he's emphasizing praying. And cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Brethren, not only the holy days, but year round we need to pray. Evening, morning, and noon. Now that doesn't mean you have to do it those specific times. What the emphasis is, pray a lot. And to pray several times throughout the day. That's what it's emphasizing. You don't have to stop right at noontime and say, okay, I have to pray. If you're at services and it's noontime, it's an awkward situation. So, but the point is, pray a lot. And pray for the messages. Pray for whatever needs to be prayed for at that time. When you do take time to pray, whether it's a sickness, if somebody gets sick at the feast, and we hear of sicknesses at the feast, when we go to the feast days, individuals become sick sometimes because of various circumstances. It's okay to pray for individuals at the feast. Pray for individuals who are coming to the feast. Pray for individuals that have to leave because of circumstances, funerals. One of the hardest situations I think we had to deal with, right after the feast, a group of us tried to get back for a funeral. Mrs. Belton died. You remember that? Quite a few years ago. And the funeral was right at the end of the feast. Now, we were in Georgia, I believe we were at the time. And we packed up our vehicle, and we headed north, and we were going a lot faster than we should have. We got to the funeral a half an hour late, and I felt really, really bad because I thought, we really wanted to be there, but we couldn't make it. I mean, you're talking hours of driving straight through, pumping the gas and jumping in the car and heading up the highway. Half an hour late for the funeral when we got back. So, brethren, even situations beyond our control, we can pray about and ask God for guidance and direction. And there are lots of reasons for praying. But most importantly, pray for spiritual inspiration. It's so important. The feast, its purpose is for spiritual growth. The physical things are there. It's part of the blessings of keeping the feast days. But that's not why God designed the holy days. Not for all the physical things. That wasn't the main purpose. The purpose was for spiritual growing and teaching and instructing us what His plan is for mankind. And we should be very, very thankful and let God know how much we appreciate that. And we can do that through prayer. Last area is meditation. Now, meditation for each individual varies. There's lots of different ways of meditating. I found when I was attending the feasts in different areas, one of my favorites was Jekyll Island because I could go down to the beach and meditate, sit on the beach and think about God's plan for mankind, what He had in part for me personally, and to truly meditate on the spiritual food that we were fed at the feast days. Wherever you're attending, now I got the feast brochure that gives us the activities that are taking place. Now this year I'm going to Jekyll, so John's probably going to approach me about helping. And yes, John, I would help. And I thought, okay, now I'm giving a sermon about spiritual preparing for the feast and having a wonderful feast. And if I do all these activities, a teenage bike ride, and I can't qualify for that because I'm no longer a teenager. But there is miniature golf, so I could participate in that. Teenage Bible study. Now, I can't participate in that. I'm not a teenager, but that's on. Game night. Hey, game night. Now, I like game night, especially Yahtzee. So I'm looking forward to game night. Kayak, horseback riding, dolphin, trolley group, tours, family day, fun show or dance, to be determined, I guess. Which one?
Fun show.
Oh, the fun show. Okay, great. So we can have some fun with the fun show. Seminars. I didn't even get into the seminars. What a wonderful time, brethren. What a wonderful time. But if we do all the physical activities, okay, we're going to go to services, which is very important. We attend services on regular. We go to the teenage bike ride. We do the miniature golf. We do the teenage Bible study. We do the game night. We do the horseback riding, we do the kayaking, we do the dolphin rides, we do the trolley rides, tours, we do the family fun day, we do the fun show, but we don't pray, we don't meditate, we don't study, we don't spiritually thank God for a wonderful spiritual opportunity. What have we gained? What have we gained? I'm not saying these activities are wrong. Don't get me wrong. Brethren, don't make the feast physical. Just all physical and no spiritual. Don't do that. I made the mistake when I first started keeping the feast days. I didn't understand, and I learned a valuable lesson that one of the first feasts that I kept with my family, now this is not my immediate family I have now, but with my father and my mother and my sister, well, my sister and brother. It was all physical. I remember it was all physical. We went to activities, we ate, and we married and had lots of fun. I didn't get married, but we had merry fun. And it was all physical. I got very little spiritual out of it. And coming back from the feast as a young teenager at the time, I was probably 17, and I think back on that time, I was 17. And it was all physical. And I came back and I thought, man, I spent all that money and we did all these things. I had a wonderful time, but there was something missing. There was something greatly missing. And that was spiritual. Brethren, if we do it all physical and we don't make it spiritual, we missed the purpose for keeping the fall festival season. So I want to encourage you, brethren, right now, starting with the Feast of Trumpets, which will be 12 days from now, start preparing spiritually to have a wonderful fall festival season. Brethren, thank God. Thank God that He has given us the understanding, the knowledge, the purpose for the holy days. We are a blessed people to be able to know in advance what God is doing on this earth. When these transformations take place, when Christ returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and Satan is bound and put in his place, and the world is no longer influenced by Satan, and the wonderful world tomorrow with its wonderful blessings, water will flow freely from the mountains and will cleanse the earth. We have an opportunity of knowing and understanding it now. This world has no idea what's going to happen. Now, some understand Christ is returning. Some even understand a little bit about Satan being bound. But very few people keep the Feast of Tabernacles, even understand why we keep the Feast of Tabernacles. I've even had a Jewish man tell me I don't have the right to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. They're his days. No, they're God's days. And we need to remember that. These are God's days. We have been blessed to know them, to understand them, and we have been blessed to be able to observe them. Brethren, let's prepare spiritually for the feast. Let's not make the feast strictly physical. Yes, the physical is important too. I want all the individuals to have a wonderful feast, fall festival season. And I hope each and every one of us rejoice for the purpose of which it was called for. But brethren, most importantly, let's make it a spiritual feast. Not all physical. That's part of it. And that's a wonderful part of it. The physical is wonderful. But let's make it a spiritual feast. One that we can all come back wherever we're attending and say we had the best feast ever.